Well, it's great to be with you guys here this morning. Just going to quote some scripture here so that we can say that at least there was one piece of scripture quoted here this morning. This is a Christian church. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him for the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. I'd love to see some dancing out there this morning. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. I know we're going to have that this morning. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Raise your hands if you have breath this morning. Okay. Let's use that breath to bring praises to him this morning. Amen, Lord. We give you this time, Lord. We receive you this morning, God. We receive your praise. We receive your goodness, your mercy. Father, as we worship, God, I pray you would move in our hearts, in our souls, that we would be broken up, ground up, and ready for a fertile water coming in, Lord God. We ask for that. Expectantly this morning, with boldness, we come before you and say, Lord, be with us. We ask for your presence here. Without your presence, Lord, is nothing. So we invite you. Be with us. Let's worship. Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty? And so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
We know that is Lord.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you lay down your life, and I will be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan the son and daughter, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
That's right, Lord.
Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
That's right, come on.
Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. And I will be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was.
Come on, we'll sing. We'll sing.
Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Lord,
you are. down your line, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Jesus, I sing, come on, yeah.
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
One more time.
Yeah, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Thank you, Lord. Receive our worship. Receive our symbols this morning, Lord. We worship you. Worship you.
Is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
Yes, you are.
Slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is to all, he has compassion in all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
We sing, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
Bring your praises this morning.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is and he has compassion and all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
Thank you, Lord.
As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the
we realize, you guys, as we sing these songs, these words right here, when we realize as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions. That's infinity. He's completely removed them. And so what do we say when we realize that? We sing hallelujah, and that's praise the Lord translated. So let's sing that together.
Oh, Lord, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, just the voices.
Praise the up your name.
Go ahead and be seated. Just a couple of announcements. First, I wanted to say that on the table back there is a sign up for baby dedications. So if you sign up to that, we'll work out a date. Next Sunday's open for someone. If you haven't dedicated, now if your child's 14, we're just doing baby dedications right now. So you probably all want to be dunked again and dedicated, rededicated. Dedication's a big deal. I was dedicated, but had some wild times to get me to where I needed, but I believe God sets a child on a path and with godly parents and us asking for his help. So that, just make sure, we've had a bunch of babies and several of you have asked, and so we'll do that. Also on the table is if you brought your tithe check or whatever for the offering, you just can put money in the basket. The Lord's blessed us. Those of you that are doing PayPal and sending checks in, that's working really great. So appreciate all that. I also want to remind everybody to vote. Some of us have already voted, absentee or whatever, but if you're not registered, and you're 18, it's really important that you vote. You're voting not just for the president, you're voting for state offices, you're voting for school boards, you're voting for water districts, whatever that, however that works, a lot of different, and you're voting for a lot of policies about your taxes, your contractor licenses for people that are independent. There's a lot of issues on the ballot, and if you don't vote, you leave it up to someone else to determine that, and then we end up complaining about it, but we didn't vote. So make sure you do that if you haven't, and let your children know how important that is. So that, I just want to encourage us with that. I wanted to pray now for John and Erica. Erica got a positive cancer test on her, she had a biopsy this week, and so it's breast cancer. And they know little right now, other than they got a positive, they got more appointments lining up. And I talked to her this morning, where are you, Erica? John, it's like some people, when this stuff happens, they don't want to talk to anybody and they retreat. And I know some of you are that way, and you know what? That's fine. Other people get something like this and they want people to know about it so that we can get it out in the open and really have a lot of prayer. And, you know, so this morning, I'd like the whole church that's here to gather together and pray for them. And you can stay in your seats, but I'd like you to extend your hand. So John and Erica, come on up. And Naomi, you come too, because you're some, and Chef, you too. I'd like Aaron to come up. Okay, let's get in the shade right here. You want to say something? John,
just reiterating what you said, we really covet the prayers of the body, and we've been buoyed by your prayers many times before, and so we see this as a different kind of adventure, yeah. But we trust that God's in it with us.
Bill and Shay, come on up to Dudley. I just like this is elders. It recommends the elders. It's government and. Okay, I have a. Dudley, have you ever seen anybody healed?
Yeah.
Good. Who's? How many have seen healing in their life? All of us, and it's a mystery, but we're going to agree for God's hand and God's healing. We have a God that doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber. He's risen from the dead. Did you know that, kids? Your God is alive as much as I am here, and so when we pray to Him, we're not just going, Lord, we just ask you that. We're talking to the living God. So I'm going to start. I'm going to pray also, but I'm going to ask Aaron, Aaron and Mike, but Aaron in particular to pray because she's such a good friend of Erica's, and Aaron's lived in this world of chemo for a decade. So
when Erica and I talked yesterday, I just really felt like the word shepherd came to my mind. You know the shepherd. He's a good shepherd. You don't know this land you're going, but you have a good guide. So trusting in the guide, the journey's scary, but we know He is right by you. So, Lord, we do just come to you, Lord, as their friends and as the church body and as believers, Lord, that, again, we remind ourselves of who you are. You already know, but we remind ourselves.
Please extend your hands, every one of you, please.
That we serve the God that parted the Red Sea. Lord, you brought manna down from heaven. Lord, you helped David, a young boy, slay a giant. Lord, you do the impossible. You do the things that in the natural always look absolutely terrifying and impossible. So, Lord, we don't know if this is terrifying and we don't know if this is impossible, but we know you already know every detail about Erica. We know that you already have the GPS set. Lord, you know her path. So, Lord, I ask that in this journey that the doctors will realize the honor it is to work with Erica. The Erica is bringing the kingdom in dark places. Lord, the Erica is going to share her testimony. Lord, the Erica is going to share and people won't believe the goodness of God. Lord, I thank you for her life. I thank you, Lord, that you know every cell. You can speak cells into obedience. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that this cell that is cancerous would die. We pray for that, Lord. We ask for every other cell to come and to listen to your voice, Lord, and that there would just be a reckoning in her body. Lord, I thank you in advance for the peace that's going to go before her, that's behind her, that's beside her, that's all around her. That there's an unshakable peace when the guide is guiding you, and you are our guide. And Lord, we thank you that you are such a good shepherd. You didn't say it'd be easy, but you said you will never leave us or forsake us, and that Naomi and Jack and Sheffy will get to add this to their legacy of heritage in you of what you're doing.
Lord, you're faithful in every season of our life. And we've often said that we don't have one more breath unless you give it. That you are the author and finisher. And so, Lord, we as a body are so grateful to John and Erica, who they are and their family. And so we, as a body, we agree for your favor on her. Lord, I pray that all the medical stuff that they deal with, there's conflicting things, and people will give advice from the right and the left on what to do and not to do. I pray that like a well-driven nail, the wisdom of Almighty God will fall on them and you'll give them peace that passes understanding. And beyond that, Lord, you would heal her and restore her. I thank you for the other women in our church that have had breast cancer and have survived and moved forward, Lord, in a normal life. And so we pray that this will be Erica's portion, that your healing power will touch her and everything that will be fine. Lord, I ask you to help us be committed to pray for them on a daily basis during this season, which might go on for a while. But help us with that, we pray. Thank you for John, Lord. I pray you give him wisdom. He'll cover his family in a way that only he could do through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And everybody in the church reached out and said, Erica, we love you. Amen. Also, Mary Johnson was in the hospital. I talked to her yesterday. She thought she'd be getting home. She had some chest pains, but she's doing better. And I don't. Is any Rhonda? Do you have an update on her? Mary? Lisa isn't here, I don't think. She may be coming home today. Mary's almost 90. For those of you that don't know her. Amazing person that survived several bouts of cancer herself. So, okay, it's a privilege to introduce our speaker today. It's not me. It is my son, Matthew. We recently did a virtual conference, and the title of it was Pivot for Such a Time as This. And I was talking to CM before church, and I didn't talk about this CM, but in basketball, your pivot leg is everything. You can pass, you can hold the ball. It's really important. And I believe that we are in a pivoting time. How many can agree with Bob Dylan, the times they are a-changing? There's so much going on in business and health and things are, you know, we hear one thing one day, something another day, and we just need to be steady. Like old man River. And I believe Matt's going to bring something this morning that will bless us. Here you go, Matt.
All right, how's that? Can you hear? It's good? I woke up with a little like frog in my throat, so I have a cough drop, so hopefully that's not too distracting. You know, I can't hear the Amazon trucks from down there either. Can you guys hear them? But up here, you can really see them. And I got to tell you, Dad, when you buy a building prior to Amazon moving in, that says a lot about your ability to navigate real estate. I think this place would have been a lot more expensive now than it was back then. So, like my dad said, we did a virtual conference out of Atlanta, and he had asked that I kind of recap some of the things that I shared on there. And I did want to say, over the past 8 months, I've spoken in church twice. Both of them were virtual. So what's exciting for me is not everybody saw it. So I can kind of just say whatever I want that I said then, because like 27% of you saw it, so I think I feel like it's going to be fresh. One of the benefits. But at this conference, Pivot, for such a time as this, the word pivot is, it's really popular nowadays in business. And business always makes things so cheesy how they do stuff, but you know, pivot in business is like, we're going to pivot a different direction. We're going to pivot towards this, and when in fact it's oftentimes that the business, whoever's running the business, has just been doing it wrong for a really long time. But pivot is a way of saying it nice, you know. And the same for politicians. You hear that, you know, a really right or left wing has pivoted towards the center or something like that. So it's a term that has become sort of in our everyday conversation. But the word's actually been around since the 14th century. And so I kind of want to describe what the word is. It's a noun, it's an adjective, it's a verb. But really, you think about it as like an axle on a car where your tire would go around. It's anything. A pivot is that center point that everything rotates around. As an adjective, you could say that it was a pivotal moment. As a verb, you could say you pivoted. So has everybody heard the term pivot? Yeah? Everybody heard the word, Ryan? Yeah, you heard it? Okay. Pivoting is movement. And these are words I want to add to it, because we are in a moment in time where it does feel pivotal. But pivoting is movement. Pivoting is also momentary. Pivoting is sudden. There's no way that, you know, when you pivot towards something, it's not this long, drawn-out thing. It's sudden. Pivoting is historic. When we look back at times and you say, wow, that was a big pivot in our country or in our life, it's a historic moment. This word is typically tied to something that's life-changing. Pivoting is growth. Pivoting is required to survive. I think of the old British Empire, you know, where they marched in straight lines and we're just getting picked off because that's the way you did it. And then we moved to more of a kind of a guerrilla warfare style where it's coming from all angles that allows us to pivot. Pivoting is required to reach the lost. There's a really old school way of Christianity, I think, that I want to be careful how I say this, but, you know, tracks on the beach. There's nothing wrong with handing out tracks. Tracks are like a pamphlet that talk about the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. But that would be very, I want to say that's old school. I don't mean to offend anybody if that's what it is. But it's sort of like, here's an information. It's about Jesus who died on the cross. You should go home and read it, and then your whole life will change. And that's very, like I said, British Empire, if that makes sense. To reach the lost, you have to be able to relate to people that is not in their face. You actually have to pivot towards them, where you're not in the culture, you're not doing the things they're doing, but you're also not condemning them for the things they're doing. Pivoting is counterintuitive. Everything was going great. About March 12th, everything's moving just fine. Why do we need to pivot? I think things were going pretty good. It's counterintuitive. And pivoting requires surrender. It's so hard when you are asked by God or by anybody to make a change, to change direction, and you hold on really tight. It hurts. It's far worse. So you have to surrender. I think we often head out on a direction that was caused by a pivot and think we'll be in that straight line forever. So you're all sitting here today because of a pivot time in your life. There was a moment that God called you, and that's why you're sitting here. Everything changed. But that doesn't mean there's one pivot 17 years ago or 23 years ago, and then you just kind of keep marching in that same direction. I mean, you know, in your Bible, I don't know if mine has this, but I remember as a kid looking at it, and you know, those maps that are in the back of your Bible, you know, that will say Jesus is teaching, and it goes like this. Like, he was always going to be crucified. He knew he was going to be crucified. Why did he have to do all those pivots in and around that area? Why did he do that? He could have just gone to Jerusalem and got this thing over with. But he didn't. Ephesians 6:12 says that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Think of the old planes in World War II where they had those gunny men on the back where they could, in those bubble kind of things, where they could really turn and hit from all different angles. That the spiritual darkness, there's a real enemy that's out there not to make your day bad. He's not out there just to make you feel bad about yourself. He wants to kill you. He does. And you can't really pursue the Father unless you acknowledge that there's an enemy. And he's coming from all angles, and you have to be able to pivot in order to protect and advance. If you think you're going to get on board that plane and just get to wherever you think you're going without some turns in the road, it's not going to happen. Many of you are like me. I said this at the conference, but I was born into a Christian family. I went to Christian schools. I had Christian friends. And by all accounts, I was a Christian. But I couldn't identify a moment when that happened. Are there any kids here? Kids, you know, you could be 18. But or anybody in here that doesn't know when they became a Christian? Anybody? Okay, couple? That's okay. That's not like a trick question. I always tease my dad. That's how he's really managed to keep the church numbers tight, as he asks rhetorical questions, which forces people to respond. And everybody's like, anyway. Sorry, Deb. But I couldn't identify a moment either. I knew Jesus. I prayed to him, and I feel confident that I would have gone to heaven as a kid if I had died. But after high school, I went away to university, and it was amongst the university ideals, the temptations that come with that, the challenges, that I really pivoted towards Jesus. It was only when I got outside of what is really good, all those things I just described. I'm fortunate to be raised by Christian parents, fortunate to have Christian friends. I was fortunate to go to Christian schools. Nicole knows, we had some conversations about that going. Nicole and I were at the church school. This church used to have a school. Our eighth grade class was three of us. Two of us are still here, okay? We're really praying for that third one. He's coming in. It's a 67% retention rate from the church. So I'm not making it small if you were raised in around those environments. All I know is that when I got outside of that environment is when I was required to decide who Jesus was. Why is that? Why that time? My relationship with Jesus became my relationship with Jesus. To the younger people, is your relationship with Jesus your relationship with Jesus? You'll grow in that. It's okay if you're not quite sure how that works yet. God's protecting you, but at some point it's going to become your relationship. I was called long before, but in that moment that required a high level of testing in my life in college, I was left realizing that I had nowhere else to turn. You either pivot away Jesus or towards Jesus in crisis. And I pivoted towards him, and it wasn't a strategic decision. I was raised in a way to have the fundamentals to know that there was just nowhere else to turn. So here's a question that I highlighted. You can see it's true. It's highlighted. What does it mean to be a Christian? Are you a Christian? I know that sounds like a weird question, but Christian has almost become synonymous with American. It's become sort of something you identify with where we live. So you're a Christian. You live here. You grew up in a church. You know, my uncle was really big in his faith. So yeah, I'm a Christian. And I hear this a lot in and around work environments. I had someone ask me yesterday, so is there a faith you practice? You know, I know that's a weird question, but they asked me that. And I said, yes, I'm a non-denominational Christian. I don't know why I said it like that. I mean, it's true, but I don't know. I said, yes, I am. I'm a non-denominational Christian, you know, and which is like, hopefully I'm a lot more than that, like with my relationship with Jesus. But what I'm saying is the person you've never met that doesn't walk with the Lord says the same answer. Are you a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Martin Luther said that he lived like Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, is coming back tomorrow. That's a good definition of what a Christian is. Are you living like Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow? After college, I took a job in the landscape field, which is sort of the opposite of what I studied. I was a political science major, which there actually are a lot of politics in the field I'm in, but it's not related. It's not really related, but totally different from what I thought I would be doing. It was a pivot for me. It wasn't strategic. I'm just here to tell you that anything and everything that's happened good in my entire life has not been strategic. It's because that I've been pivoted or forced out or catapulted in a different direction. I think if you took out a pen and paper and just jotted down the pivot points, and I hope you do this, the pivot points in your life, it's not going to be 50, it's going to be 5, or maybe 6 or 12. It's not going to be a bunch, because they're historic and they're life-changing. It may not be a 180-degree pivot, but you know, over a little time, those little acute angles, when you have a little pivot, just a little bit, over the long course of time, it becomes big, big angles. Jeremiah was a prophet, and those of you that are doing the one-year Bible, we've been going through Jeremiah. He had his own book in the Bible. He deserved it. As a prophet, I don't mean this to be like blasphemous, but he got a short stick in terms of what he was tasked to do. He was tasked with really going around and telling people to repent. I don't think there's any record of him ever having a convert. He was asked to proclaim that the nation of Judah would suffer famine, foreign conquest, plunder, and captivity in the land of strangers. He's even referred to as the weeping prophet. But really what God was doing through Jeremiah was providing an opportunity for these countries to pivot towards him. Repentance is a pivot. That would be one of the things that you would document and when you write that down. If you don't feel like you've really repented, if you're here today and you don't know that you've ever really repented, and repenting to me is a daily activity. Because it's worse when you know the truth and you still do bad stuff, right? Get in the habit of repenting. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Pivoting requires a fixed point. If you think of a protractor, half of your body is sort of like, you know, it's those things that, you know, I don't know, I should have brought one, but it's two pieces. One has to remain fixed and the other one has to be able to be moved. It has to be agile. We got to be anchored in one side and anchored in the truth and anchored in the word. There is no excuse for us not to be reading the Bible. There's no excuse because the winds of change are amongst us and you had better know what the truth is and what God says about what's going on right now. If you don't know what it's all in here. If you want to know, you know, what God's doing, and is this a historic time, and is this something that, you know, whatever it is, turn to the scriptures. You have to be anchored. We create plans for all sorts of stuff, study plans, exercise plans, college plans, retirement plans, vacation plans, financial plans, business plans, three-year plans, five-year plans, and then plans to make more plans. And, you know, I'm kind of a doer. The idea of sitting down and planning something feels like it's really excruciatingly painful for me. I would just rather do it, make a few mistakes, learn from my mistakes, and then keep moving, like the little wind-up thing that hits the wall and keeps bouncing. But there's a lot to be learned from people that plan, and so there's nothing wrong with planning. So all you planners, congratulations, you're like more sophisticated than I am, and you probably, it's probably been less painful for you, but they are good. But a great plan should always include plenty of room for pivoting. The reality is, if we were honest, we could say that 2020 has really ruined your plans. We had a vacation scheduled for the Hawaii. It was going to be fabulous. It was going to be a tremendous plan. We had a plan that we were going to do this and we were going to do that. 2020's ruined your plans. Okay? That's what's happened. But is everything that's happening right now ordained by God or not? Is it? Pivoting almost always pushes us towards the events in life that are most memorable. Pivoting requires three things. You got to be anchored in who you are, like I said. Without an anchor, you're going to become part of somebody else's plans. You become a pawn in somebody else's plans if you're not anchored. If you're not rooted in the scriptures, you will be sucked up in part of someone else's plans because you don't know the truth. 1 John 2:15 says that do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but in the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. That's where it gets into being in the world, but not of the world, if you've ever heard that. I think the most effective evangelists are the ones that have one foot rooted in the world while they're anchored in the truth, yet they're able to pivot and to move and to adapt and to not judge others. We're so good at judging behavior. We're so good at judging behavior. God judges the heart. So number two, we have to trust Jesus. You have to be anchored in the truth and you have to trust Jesus. And then the third one is just get comfortable being uncomfortable. This is not the last pivot of your life. It may not be the last pivot of your day. So to close, I want to speak freely and share a little bit about what I believe God wants us to hear this morning. 2020 has caused us to pivot either away or towards Jesus. But turning away from Jesus doesn't always mean denying him. Turning away from Jesus also means turning away from his teachings and allowing the culture to inform you how you believe. Jesus is not the culture. Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for you so that you would have eternal life. We have been strategically saturated by the enemy in order to divide us. The enemy has a plan to destroy you and your families. If you can't hang out with someone or love someone or respect someone because they prefer a different political party, then that is not from the Lord. That's from the culture. Jesus is not the culture. And you can put any label on culture you want. The enemy is roaming around the earth like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you've ever watched National Geographic, there's always an animal at the back of the herd. And you're watching it going, oh man, come on. Like, somebody tell this guy, like, pick up the pace. Where are you in the herd? We have moved into the type of spiritual warfare that requires you to be girded in the truth and be flexible. We spend too much time judging others for their behavior and not enough time investing in who they are and who God sees them to be. If we go around and judge people for their actions, I don't believe that's who they are. I think God sees them as who they truly are and who they're going to be. But we have to pivot our hearts away from judging behavior. I feel like God is asking us to humble ourselves, and that we need, and that we as individuals need to ask as a church for forgiveness. And I mean big church, all the churches, that we need to ask for forgiveness. The truth of the matter is that most of us would not be allowed in this church or any church if we were judged appropriately. But God, in all his goodness, flooded into your life and in your heart and pulled out the person you are today. He is not after your behavior. Jesus is not after your behavior. He's not after your vote. He's after your heart. God is not worried about the future. And the reason for that is because he's already there. When I think of you, Erica, that's what I think. He's already where you're going. And there's a lot of comfort in that. It's exactly why he allowed 2020 to be 2020. I think we should all just settle one thing and for all. 2020 is not a horrible year. Stop saying that. Stop saying, I can't wait for 2020 in. You're going to look back and realize 2020 is the best thing that ever happened to you. And God ordained it. He set you apart for this time. It's a pivotal year that when we get past it, we'll see God's movement all the way through. I will close with that. I think the biggest thing that I was hoping to communicate today is that if we put a label on this year or put a label on other people as circumstantial or just a bad year, it's just tough. That's so 2020. What's the next bad thing that's going to happen? Or we see them as opportunities that God's putting in front of us so that we'll pivot towards him. He's with us. He's for us. And there's nothing that can get us if we're with him. Like Aaron prayed, he's a good shepherd. He's a good guide. So I'd encourage you all just to get in the scriptures if you have questions and to stay close in this community because, you know, a lot of the fruit that we're seeing or that we have seen over the years locally and in our lives has been in this community. It's been out of commitment to one another. And so just because you're not hanging out quite as much or you're not hugging at church as much or you do, that doesn't remove a responsibility to care for each other. It's just he's asking us to pivot and doing it a different way. Get on your knees and pray for somebody. Do something nice for somebody you don't know. That's a concept. I don't know. I just throw it out there. Like, seriously. The last thing I'll say, I promise, because I know I got to go. I think 2020 has made us more selfish. We have gone into protection mode. We have covered, we have battened down the hatches because we're not going to get hurt. It's too dangerous out there right now. We got to really get, let's get a plan together. We're like doomsday preppers, you know? When situations, the culture, what's happening does not affect God's plan and the kingdom that is growing. So caring for others, doing something nice for someone that doesn't benefit you directly is a good practical way of just getting outside yourself this week. Buy someone a coffee behind you in line at a Starbucks. Pay someone a compliment. Build someone up that you don't benefit from. Stop thinking about yourself. When I say all this, I'm talking to myself. I hope you know that. I actually look at myself in the mirror every morning and say, stop thinking about yourself. No, I don't really do that. Okay, that's it. Dad, you want to come up or the worship? Okay, I'll pray. All right, let's pray. You guys, everybody want to stand? All right, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We declare that this year, as difficult as it has been, we declare that it's all good, that you work all things together for good. And we come against the enemy who wants to put all these situations in a bucket of 2020 and say it's bad. Lord, I ask that you would build this this community up. Everybody that's sitting here today, Lord, I ask that their lives would be a little bit different today, going out to next week, that you would pivot us towards other people. Amen.
I always feel like Matt does a good job of making me feel uncomfortable. And I appreciate it because he shakes it. Remember when we first came back, I said, faithful and flexible. Let's say it again. Faithful and flexible. And what Matt said this morning, so absolutely true that God's in it. And whatever you're facing, I know some have lost jobs. CM starting a new project after being in a company 11 and a half years. A lot of changes going on. And Rachel, you've been through a lot. Some things that happened in your classroom that were very, very trying. And there's things that have happened in your lives that I don't know about, except maybe just your spouses. That we've been through a lot, but we're in it together. And so Pat's going to lead us in a good father. And this is not a song to watch. This is a song for you and I to sing. And we have a Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know that we're all searching for answers, only you provide. What we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect, Lord. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. Lord, you are perfect, Lord. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Still as you call, a deeper still. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are good. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Amen. Lord, we ask you that we would be anchored in who we are, authentic, that the culture would not steal our identity, would not rob us of our inheritance. We pray, Lord, that we would trust you fresh and anew, that you would wake us up in areas that we don't even know we need to trust, that you'd help us with that. And Lord, that we would consider the uncomfortable comfortable, that you would, just as an eagle will stir the nest for the eaglets to fly, they have to be pushed out of the nest, Lord, that you'll, when we run across uncomfortable situations or uncomfortable people, that you give us wisdom beyond our years, that the Holy Spirit would speak through us and in us. Lord, help us to be ambassadors of reconciliation. Help us have a heart for those that disagree with us. Help us care about people that we don't care for. Help us cross the room, so to speak, Lord. Help us love the unlovable. We need your help to do this, Lord. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to touch each one of us this morning, fresh and anew. Fill us, Lord. Help us pivot towards what the kingdom is doing. Help us pivot towards what you want from each one of us. Help us pivot in our sphere. Let it not be business as usual. Stir us up in the right way, O Lord. And help us, we pray. And everybody said with unison, amen. So be it. Well, as you go out this morning, I'm going to be in the shade over here. If someone here would like some prayer from me, I'll be there for a few minutes. Just to, if you're carrying something that you just like some private prayer, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. And look around. Would you mind looking around? Look at somebody. Give them the old knuckle high. Knuckle punches are alive. God bless you. We're dismissed.